those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you this morning. It's rainy out there this morning. I really needed to get my grass cut. Didn't happen before the rains came, so it's going to grow even more. I may be talking to Jack about borrowing his hay baler this summer to make hay of my yard out there. It's growing so fast. Today is May 1st, and already the grass is just growing like crazy here where we live. We are in the I Am statements, not the I Am statements of Jesus, where He says I am in ways that got the Jewish leaders all in an uproar because He said the ego a me, but I Am statements, things that you and I as disciples of Jesus can say about ourselves absolutely and unequivocally, because they are God's truth about who we are in Christ. They're identity statements. We are meant to be all of these various things in Christ. And in fact, the truth of God's word is we are reckoned that these things are all true in a legitimate, truly converted believer's life, that all these things are true. Now, there are people who can appear to participate with the church. They can appear to participate like a believer, but may not be truly saved, may not be truly converted, may not have come to that point of the faith. And we have to be careful not to convolute the two. But if a person is truly born again, all these 100 statements and we're not going to look at all of them, I don't think. But I'm just trying to give you an understanding of who we are in Christ. when we live these out in our lives, we can live with a great amount of fortitude. We can live with a different attitude. We can overcome sin in our lives. We can overcome discouragement in our lives. We can overcome lots of things in our lives as a result of being in Christ. So let's look at some more of these statements. These are 100 identity truths. Your true identity in Jesus Christ. This is put out by Neil Anderson, and it's Freedom in Christ Ministries. And we've used, not maybe here locally, but in years gone by, I have used Neil Anderson's works and studies, and we studied his works in some of our various different studies, adult Bible fellowships, or what used to be called Sunday schools, to understand our identity, our freedom in Christ. Let's get into some more of these. John 17, chapter, John chapter 17, verse 11, another great truth for us, and I'm just kind of working my way down through these. I need to get into a different translation, though. There we go. 17 and verse 11 says this. Get that on the screen for you. I will remain in the world no longer, but they, that being the disciples, Jesus is praying to the Father, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, he's speaking to the Father. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. One of the truths that we have here is that I am protected by the power of the name of Jesus. You may come into all kinds of different circumstances in your life, all kinds of threatening situations in your life. And this is not to say that no harm will come to you. But your soul, who you really are, is protected by Jesus. It may not be that the body is. And why do I say this? I say this because how many of the disciples went on to become martyrs, especially the 12 of the 12? Pretty much every one of them became martyrs. Even the Apostle John, although he wasn't persecuted to death, still, he. Some believe he was maybe burned in oil. Some that is one of the stories that is out there. But we do know absolutely that he was banished to the island of Patmos off the coast of Turkey. We do know that, and he lived a long life and died of natural causes, but nonetheless, he faced martyrdom. It's believed that the Apostle Paul was beheaded. It's believed that the Apostle Peter was crucified upside down. Stephen was stoned to death, and many of the others, there are stories of them. James, they believe, also beheaded. So how does this verse 17, come into play? Because they were eternally secure. They were confident in their eternal home. They were confident that that no matter what happens in this world, there is something far better yet to come. So in that sense, they had the sense of protection. This is, so we claim to protection. Lord, whatever happens to my body, I know you're protecting me. This what you're looking at on your screen is just a tent, just a covering. It's just the temporal part of the eternal, the temporal covering of the eternal. The eternal is the soul, and so we will be with the Father, we will be with the Son forever, and should something happen to this body, I am eternally secure, which in fact, will be the next verse that we will look at is about our eternal security. But still, nonetheless, we can come to God and say, God, in this passage, Jesus prayed that you would protect us by the power of my name or the power of Jesus' name, the name that you gave me. So this Jesus saying this for us, you and I are protected by the power of his name. And even as David did, and you read through the Psalms, you look at all the places where David prayed for God's protective hand to be upon him because he was being pursued by his enemies. And we see David looking to the Lord for his protection. That great, great passages like Psalm 91, which is really the soldier's prayer, is called the soldier's prayer. We can hang on to Psalm 91 as it speaks to the protection that God will give us. Now, back in chapter 10, we have a few other verses that we can speak in as truth in our lives. Even if they kill the body, they cannot kill the soul. And so we look at these few verses down at 27 of Matthew, of John chapter 10, John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I just want to talk for a moment about people who observe sheep and sheep herding. It was interesting how sheep could be pastured together with another shepherd's sheep, and they would be eating, grazing in the same pasture. And yet when the shepherd spoke and began calling his sheep would come with him. So Jesus is speaking to something that of which they would be familiar, because sheep herding was something that happened among them. It was a very common farming practice, agricultural practice, so wool making practice, and it was part of Jewish culture. They would know, they would understand, okay, just like those sheep. And I've had friends that have observed over in Israel or even other areas of the Middle East where a shepherd will call his sheep and they will follow their shepherd. You'd think you put all these sheep together, they just get all confused, but no, they know their shepherd's voice. And so for you and I, that we would know the voice of our shepherd and that we would listen to him and that we would follow him. He says this in verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We're not coming for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Then he goes on and answers them. I don't need to get into the rest of that, but a few things. Verse 28, I have given them eternal life. They shall never perish. Verse 29, no one can snatch them out of my hand. In fact, that's a repeated phrase, verses 28 and 29. No one can snatch them out of my hand. You and I have eternal life. You and I have eternal security. Now, you might say, well, what about me? Can I choose to walk away? I still will land in the place that if you are truly saved, you're not going to walk away. That's where I will land on that issue. And we just look at these verses. In fact, I'll take you to one other verse, one other passage. It's a very familiar passage, at least to some. Here you go again. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one can take you away from Jesus. No one can take you away from God. You continue to be his child. No one can snatch you out of his hand. And another passage that goes with this is down in 1 John chapter 5. And this is the question that we have to answer for ourselves. This is the question that you give to others. Verse 10 says, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so you ask the question, do you have the Son of God? Yes, then you have eternal life. And then John says this in verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. He is trying to give them this assurance of eternal life. Eternal security is what it would be called. We are eternally secure in Christ. Now, I can go back over. There's more. I missed a truth I could have shared in John 17. In fact, there are several other truths in John 17. But let me, before that, go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And there's just truths smattered throughout the Gospels that Jesus gave us. There are truths smattered throughout the epistles that the apostles gave us, truth to fortify us, truth to strengthen us. But down at verse 31, actually it's verse 32, but I'll read verse 31, it goes along with it. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Now, some would grab onto this and say, see, it says, if you do, then you are my disciples. Some would say, well, see, it says they can walk away. No, it says if you hold up my teaching, then you really are my disciples, or you are really my disciples. Those who hold on to the truth, who hold on to his teaching, are the ones that show that they truly are saved. Verse 32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. An I am statement, I am set free by God's truth. To know that you are set free from by God's truth. God's truth is what sets you free. John 17, let me take us back over to that again. Down at verse 15. I realize you're looking at the screen there. John 17, verse 15. Through 17, we have a few different truths here. John 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. So we're kept from the evil one by God's power. And then verse 16 and 17 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. We are sanctified. I am sanctified. I am made holy by God's truth. That is another truth that we can hold on to. I am made holy by God's truth. Down at verse 24 says this, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you've given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Another truth in verse 24 is that I am God's gift to Christ. Verse 23 says this, I am in them, and you are in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I am one with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. To just imagine, and this teaching in this section of Scripture, the Upper Room Discourse that you read, John 13 through 17, and Jesus underscores for them again and again this truth, this reality, that they are one with the Father, one with Jesus, one with the Spirit. God comes to live in us, to take up his abode and live with us, and to live in us. We are made one in him. What wonderful truth. So statement, I am one with God the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Many, many, many great truths. I am God's gift to Christ. Let's go over Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says this: Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The promise here is that I have peace with God. You and I can be at peace with God, and if we're at peace with God, we can be at peace within ourselves. And not only do we find this in verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, I am justified by faith. What does it mean to be justified? Just as if I never sinned. That is stuck with me. That's one of those things that I heard in those teenage years of mine so many years ago, 45 years ago, that has stuck with me, that I am justified by faith in Christ. I can't make myself just with God. Jesus justifies us. Jesus has paid the atonement price for us. He has done the work for us. So I am justified through faith. I have peace with God through faith. And we stay right here and go to verse 2, and we read, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. A truth. I have access into the sphere of God's grace. Or another way of stating it more succinctly is I have access to God's grace. You go over to the book of Romans to the 4th chapter, and it tells us that we should come boldly to the throne of grace where we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Down at the end of the chapter. In fact, let me show you that. We have access, and I'll bring us back over to Romans 5. Let me share this with you out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace. What then? What's the then there for? Well, I'll go back to verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So this high priest can sympathize. This high priest can empathize with us in our weaknesses. He knows the power of temptation. He knows all of these things. He says, but we have one who's been tempted just as we are, yet was without sin. Because of Jesus, because of this great high priest, because we hold firmly to the faith we profess, it tells us then in verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. An invitation. What Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 comes to bear here by the writer of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4, that we should approach the throne of grace with confidence, come before God in prayer with confidence because of what Jesus has done, because of the merit of Jesus, because of the work of Jesus, because of all that he has done on our behalf. Father, we come to you on his merit, on his work, in his name. We come before you to bring to you our request. Now, there are a few other things I want to show you in Romans chapter 5. So verse one, we're justified. I am justified. I have peace with God. I have gained access into the grace of God. And there are other things that tell us in verse three, not only so, but I also rejoice in our sufferings, or we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So we can state this truth. I can rejoice in trouble because I know that God is doing his work in my troubles. Another great truth. The love of God has been poured into my heart, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. God pours his love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. We can't love as we ought to love, but God enables us to love because he pours his love into our hearts. Down at verse 10, another great truth. I'm just going to pull a few more out of this section. Verse 10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I've been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus. And then also, I am being saved by the life of Jesus. Great truths out of Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Down at verse 17, we have one other great truth, one other I am statement that we can make. Here it is. For if by the trespass of one man, that's speaking of Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more, and this is one of those repeated phrases in this chapter, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I am reigning in the life of Jesus. We reign in life. We are co-heirs together with Jesus. We are co-possessors of the inheritance. We are called to sit with him. We are called to reign with him. We are called to be confident in him. And so these statements that we're making, that we're reading through, are working our way through several of these I am statements to remember today who you are in Christ. You are called to be this incredible person in Christ. Live it out. Live it out. Well, friends, I'm going to get you into your day. I've got another very busy, this is just an exceptionally busy time right now. In fact, we've realized it's an exceptionally busy time right on through until the end of May. Every single weekend packed full, and it's packed fuller than it should be right now. I would appreciate your prayers for health. I've been having some issues. I've shared a little bit of that. Last night I was having very low blood pressure issues. Things are just kind of swinging. So just appreciate your prayers as I try to keep pressing on and have an appointment on Friday. But I get on an airplane on Saturday morning and head out. So I'd appreciate your prayers. So if you would pray, I appreciate it. Lord, we come before you today. We thank you for these wonderful, wonderful truths about who we are in Christ. Help us to live these out, to live robustly for you, to live robustly in you, that people would experience who Jesus is in our lives, because we are experiencing Jesus is in our lives. Lord, today, hear our prayer that we would glorify you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, have a great day. We will see you again tomorrow.